Hello, and welcome to Chatterbox, the talking news for Norwich. This is edition number 2259, and it was recorded on Thursday, the 8th of February, 2024. Welcome from me, Paul Henderson, and as usual, my partner in reading the news is Ruth Murray. Today, we have our usual mix of items, news from the city, some letters to the evening news, and three features, which will be read by Sam Elmhurst. We send a warm welcome to one new listener this week. Hello to Mr. Leonard Honeywood from Norwich. We hope you enjoy the programme.
Hello, everyone. We start with our first batch of news items with a watery theme, including a world record attempt, where one river crossing closes, another one opens, and measures to tackle flooding. Global glory is the aim of a city construction worker as he attempts to smash a remarkable underwater world record. Adam Lopez from Taverham is hoping to become the fastest man on the planet to run 1 mile in a swimming pool. The 37-year-old is preparing to take on the challenge at the Nuffield Health Swimming Pool in Barrack Street on April the 23rd. Adam explained, "I started going to the gym because I wanted to become fitter and healthier." Adam will attempt to break this record set by Zayed al-Azawi in Baghdad, Iraq, in April 2023. Currently, he is clocking in at 35 minutes and 20 seconds, smashing the record by more than 4 minutes. "It's very exciting," he said.
A historic Norfolk Broads ferry has announced its closure because of difficulty in recruiting volunteers. The Horning Foot Ferry has been running across the River Bure in one form or another for centuries, taking holidaymakers and locals from Horning to Woodbastwick Staithe. It has now closed down for the foreseeable future, as there are not enough volunteers to keep the service going. Operator Dave Scragg said, "The hardest part has been getting people to come and help out, considering the amount of time it takes up. It's got quite a history to it, and sadly, we're still very much needed, but I've done my bit." Mr. Scragg took over the ferry in 2017 and has since been joined by several volunteers, although most have since dropped out. The 69-year-old tried to get charitable status for the organisation but was unsuccessful. He added, "What we do isn't for profit. Any money that came in went towards the upkeep of the boat. If someone wants to make a difference, they should take it over. Thank you to those fantastic members of the public who have supported this little piece of history for so long."
It was a day many people in Great Yarmouth questioned would ever happen. Doubters were proven wrong as hundreds of people gathered under a brilliant blue sky to watch the official opening of the town's £121 million third river crossing, the Herring Bridge. Toddlers were sat on parents' shoulders as people gathered in their hundreds by the security gates beside the bridge's control tower ahead of the official opening. Following a morning of speeches from councillors and civic leaders, a parade of students from East Norfolk Sixth Form, police officers, dignitaries and members of the public led the way to the western approach in time for the blessing by Reverend Canon Simon Ward and MP Sir Brandon Lewis. After Sir Brandon Lewis, MP, gave a few words, marking the occasion as the culmination of many years of hard work, the countdown began. After 10 short seconds, the bridge was open. Once the carriageway barrier was raised, a procession of classic cars, emergency service vehicles, the seaside road train, motorbikes, scooters, cyclists, runners and 200 schoolchildren officially became the first people to cross. Then Great Yarmouth Mayor Penny Carpenter cut the ribbon on both ends of the bridge, marking it officially open. A flotilla of vessels, lifeboats and the town's last remaining herring drifter, the Lydia Eve, also made passage under the bridge. Some of the people in attendance were also present at the opening of the other of the town's main bridges. 105-year-old Jenna Brown was just a schoolgirl when the Prince of Wales, later Edward VIII, opened the Haven Bridge. Mrs. Brown said, "We all lined up near the Star Hotel. All the school children were very excited."
Senior councillors and officials are calling for the creation of a network of reservoirs to be built across Norfolk to store up water and save areas from flooding. A delegation from the county made the case during a visit to London this week on the 71st anniversary of the North Sea flood, which left a trail of death and destruction in Norfolk. Led by Norfolk County Council leader Kay Masson-Billig and Henry Cater, chairman of the Norfolk Strategic Flood Alliance, the group made a Portcullis House presentation to MPs to push for legislation to build the reservoirs, which could be used to capture water in times of flood and allow it to be used in drought. They also called for a cut to red tape to make it easier for councils to get money for schemes to prevent surface water flooding. Councils like Norfolk to get greater power to allocate money to protect properties from flooding. Councils to have more enforcement powers. And the creation of a dedicated minister for the coast. Mr. Cater said, "We've made great strides in Norfolk in identifying sites at risk of flooding and proposing real, viable solutions for them. However, under the current regulatory environment, there are limits to what we can effectively do. It may sound dull and technical, but changes to how powers and funding are granted can have a real impact in how quickly and efficiently we can work on the ground in Norfolk."
Rising water bills will pay for major improvements to the sewerage network to end spills polluting Norfolk's beaches, water companies claim. Water bills are set to rise by an average of £28, 6% a year from April, which private water firms say will be invested in most ambitious modernisation of sewers since the Victorian era. Currently, combined sewage overflows release rain and wastewater, including sewerage, into waterways when the systems fill up during heavy rainfall. It has led to a drop in water quality at three North Norfolk beaches, East Runton, Munsley and Sea Pawling, which have all lost their blue flag status. Water UK, the voice of the country's water network, has said £96 billion is set to be invested in water and sewerage infrastructure between 2025 and 2030, almost doubling current levels of investment. £11 billion will be invested in reducing sewerage overflows, with the number of spills set to be reduced by 140,000 each year by the end of the decade. This will prevent the equivalent of 6,800 Olympic swimming pools of spills each year.
Hundreds of people from Norfolk's flood-hit Broads villages piled into a packed-out hall for a crucial meeting into recent flooding. Thousands of households across the region have suffered from flooding this winter, including the Broads villages of Wroxham, Hoveton and Horning, and Potterhigham, Hickling and Martham. More than 200 people attended the meeting held at Hickling Barn Community Centre, getting the opportunity to have their voices heard by a panel of industry experts. The meeting was called by North Norfolk MP Duncan Baker, with representatives from Anglian Water, Norfolk County Council and the Environment Agency, as well as the Internal Drainage Board and Flood Resilience Programme. Mr Baker said, "This was never going to be an easy meeting to tackle, but I'm so pleased to have given my residents the platform and chance they deserve to have their voices heard. Clearly problems exist. The response has not been good enough, and climate change is not going to make flooding go away."